Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Do we have something? Each of us can give thanks to the Lord for something this morning. And bless his name, for the Lord is good.
All the time.
All the time. All right, let's try this together. God is good, you guys say.
All the time.
Now you say it back to me. All the time. God is good. Good job. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So please join with us in worship as we sing joyfully, O Worship the King.
This morning, we are glad you're with us, and if you're watching online, we are glad that you're joining us online this morning. Welcome to Calamity Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Tom, the pastor here, and it's a joy to be in the house of God this week. And today, as we finish up the month of August, it's hard to believe that August is almost done. Where did the summer go? Just some announcements is that next Sunday, we'll be blessing the backpacks. See, we're going to have it today, but not everybody was aware of it, so we extended it out to next Sunday for blessing the backpacks. So come next Sunday with your backpacks. We'll have a time of prayer for teachers, students, military individuals, and we'll also give you something to take with you so that you can have that as a reminder of our church and that we'll be thinking about you. So just wanted to let you know, just to give everybody an extra week for those who have grandkids or kids that might want to bring their backpacks for next week, as not a lot of people were aware of it for today. Also, on September the 11th, we'll be having Back to Church Sunday. It's a time where we invite somebody to come with you to church on that Sunday. A friend, a family member, a neighbor, whoever it might be, invite them to come to church on September the 11th, and we'll have a potluck fellowship meal downstairs right after the service, just a way to kick things off for the fall. So as we begin to get in fall mode and we begin to do new programming and begin to kind of focus in on what we'll be doing for the fall here, it's a way to kick things off on September the 11th. And on September the 7th, just a few days before that, our Wednesday night meal will resume. So September the 7th at 6 o'clock, I encourage you to come, invite somebody to come with you, a time of fellowship, a time of just having good food, and this year we'll have a time of prayer together and just a brief devotional together as we come and we invite others from the community and from our church and from our neighborhoods to come September the 7th for the potluck, and September, or sort of the meal, and September 11th for Back to Church Sunday and the potluck. Also, looking for a volunteer to help out with Kids Own Worship 2 Sundays a month. If you're interested in doing that, please see myself, Jamie Weiser, or Deb Von Stetten. And right after the service today, we'll also be having a church council meeting downstairs in the fellowship hall. So if you're a part of the church council, please come to that meeting right after the service. Just a few prayer concerns. It's good to see Charlie with us today, and his chemo and radiation are going well. Few minor side effects, but he's here, and he's in good spirits, and it's good to be able to worship with us. So we're glad that you're here. And Lori also wanted to thank everybody for rides. She said that she has a lot of people volunteered, and it will fit you in. If she said she couldn't, she'll make sure she takes a note of that, because a lot of people responded to that need, and the Lori and Charlie are very grateful for those that responded to the needs of transporting him back and forth from chemo and radiation treatment. So thank you for everybody that did that, and they are very appreciative of that. I want to be thinking also about the Winder's neighbor, Terry, who was diagnosed with breast cancer. So if you could keep their neighbor in your thoughts and prayers as well today. And Jeanette Newcomer continues to do rehab out in Akron. Rich Gerfen, as he continues to recover from fluid on his lungs, as well as breathing issues, continue to think about him as well this morning. And at this time, Steve, if you want to come down, Steve is going to be going on a trip next week, I believe, or soon, 2 weeks. To Moldova. And so Steve's going to tell us about what he's going to be doing, and then we're going to have a little bit of prayer for Steve. So Steve, go ahead.
Thanks, Tom. On September 10th, I'm scheduled to leave to Moldova for 12 or so days. And if you're not familiar with Eastern Europe, Moldova is a very small country just east of the Ukraine. And it's considered to be one of the poorest countries in Europe. And especially with the influx of refugees coming over now, it's just kind of exacerbated the situation. So I'm planning to be working with a charity, a Moldovan charity, that I've worked with maybe 3 years pre-pandemic. Not sure yet what I'll be doing when I get over there, but just working with the staff. They work a lot with the poor families out in the country and also with the refugee families.
All right, and so let's have some time of prayer for Steve this morning, and let's just lift him up. If you just want to put your hands forward where you're at this morning as we ask God's blessing upon Steve. God, we come before you this morning, and we give you thanks and praise for bringing us here in your house of worship. And we want to specifically this morning be thinking about Charlie as he continues to recover from his chemo and radiation. Also, Terry, the Winder's neighbor, and Rich, and Jeanette Newcomer, and others we might not be aware of. We also want to lift Steve before you now, God, as he prepares to go on a journey, God, to help serve others and to meet others' needs, God, in a country far away, a country that is meeting needs of those fleeing the Ukraine and trying to tend to the individuals who are trying to make sense of what's going on over there with the war. So we pray a special blessing upon Steve, that you would keep him safe and that you would bring safe travels to him, that as he goes over there, that he would touch individuals' lives and that they might see Christ through him by his words, his actions, his deeds, and just wonder, well, why are you here? And that Steve would say, I'm here because I care, because God cares for you, I care for you, and you're important just like everybody else. So God, thank you for Steve and for what I'll be doing here. Pray for him as he gets ready to go. Pray a hedge of protection around him, and again, pray for safety and pray for the lives that he'll be touching there. We also pray that you'll be a time of worship together this morning, Lord, and pour out your spirit upon the offering that has been collected. We also pray, God, that your spirit would fill each and every one of us as we continue to worship you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Steve. Looking forward to hearing about it when you come back. This time, let us continue to worship as we stand together. And if there's any kids this morning, they can head back with Miss Jamie to Kids Own Worship this morning, as they'll be learning and growing in their Christian faith and doing some fun activities together. So let us stand together and let us worship. Thank you.
have down here on Wednesday nights. He also goes to the Senior Center here at our church. So welcome, Lance. We were chatting one time, and I found out that he loves gospel music, loves to sing, and is in some groups and has been in the past. So I welcomed him. I said, why don't you lead us in some songs this morning? So let's welcome him this morning.
It's good to see you. I'm so happy that my two daughters, Lacey and Lindsay, are here with us. They're both nurses, and their mother and I are just so proud of them. And also we have my two granddaughters, Brielle and Bryn. So please make them welcome. It's been over 60 years before I took a piano lesson, and I got the urge again for some reason. So I asked Melody, and she agreed for some reason. And we gave it a whirl, and after the second lesson, she asked me to sing in church. So we're going to give this a try. I'm going to sing through this song once. It's written by William and Gloria Gaither, who you know is very strong in gospel music. And they've had a strong influence. I'm going to sing through this song once. There'll be a brief reading. And then I'd ask that you would join me and sing it again. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that day. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name, Jesus. Jesus, the mention of his name calms the storm, heals the broken, raises the dead. By the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melt, derelicts transformed, lights of hope put into the eyes of a hopeless child. The name of Jesus has turned hatred and bitterness to love and forgiveness. I've heard of a mother softly breathe the name of Jesus at the bedside of a child delirious with fever and watched as that little body grew quiet. Then the fever broke. Cool. I sat next to my dying sister. She kept whispering, I want to go home to my Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophers have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth at the blood of those who claimed it. Yet, it still stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice of Adam's face shall raise the name Jesus. For in that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. So you see, it was by no chance that caused the angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maid, his name will be called Jesus. Sweet Jesus, oh, there's something about that name. Please join me. Jesus, 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 this is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the prayer.
Thank you, Lance. To me, that takes more courage than preaching a sermon to get up and to sing before people. So, Lance, thank you for doing that, and what a wonderful reminder about Jesus and just calling upon his name and how sweet it is. Let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now and we give you thanks for, again, bringing us here this morning, your house of worship. For allowing us to be reminded to give thanks to you for all you've done for us as we call upon your name, because there is just something about that name. So help us to always remember that, to pause, just to call out your name, to allow us to experience your peace, your strength, and your power each and every day. Amen. I just wanted to take a moment to thank everybody that made the picnic happen last week. We had about 40 individuals that came out, and I know that there are some people behind the scenes. Just want to thank, you know, Charlie and Charles, Kelly in the back there for cooking things, Jim Walk for the hot dogs and the rolls, and I know Deb helped out, Christine and Jamie Weiser, and there's probably individuals that I'm leaving out that all made it happen, so we were able to have a good time last week. So it was a great time outside. The weather was great. Nice little breeze. Wasn't too hot at all. And it was just great to get outside and to enjoy God's creation and just to catch up with individuals last week. So again, thank you to everybody that made that possible with bringing the plates and napkins and cooking the food, etc. So we were able to have that picnic last week. It was a wonderful time together. Today we're going to be finishing up the sermon series called The Generous Life, and we've been looking at what happens when we are generous people and how that changes our life. That if we really believe that God has partnered with us, saying, I'm calling you to join me where I'm working at, that I'm calling you to be a part of this mission of bringing about my kingdom here on earth, then it starts with us by being generous in how we live our lives. Generous in our contact with people, and generous in a variety of ways. The first week we had talked about being generous isn't always about money. And we talk about generosity, people always talk about money and being generous and saying, you know, give, give, give. And yes, that's a part of being generous. Money and supporting the church by our tithes and our offering is important. But there's a lot more to being generous than just money. We talked about how that comes with our time, our attention, how it comes with our thoughts and what we think. It comes with the attitude of whether or not we have a grateful heart. It comes with what we say. Are we encouraging people? Or are we building them up? Or are we tearing them down? It comes through our influence of individuals in our sphere of life that we come in contact with. That being generous is about our entire life, not just about money, but our entire life and how we live our life and everything we do when we're not here on a Sunday morning and how we interact with the people around us. We talked about the first step of being generous was being aware. And we looked at how the woman had touched Jesus' cloth and she was healed, and Jesus stopped and said, well, wait a second, who touched me? He was aware. That starts with being aware of the opportunities that God has given us to be generous, and not just acknowledging those opportunities, but acting on those opportunities as well, whatever they might be. That God wants to move us from a desire to live generously to actually living generously with our entire lives. Last week at the picnic, I briefly shared about the feeding of the 5,000 and how the disciples came to Jesus, and they were not trying to send the crowd away last week to say, well, we really don't want to deal with them. But the disciples were concerned. They had a practical concern. They knew that in the evening it was not safe to travel around, and so they were trying to protect Jesus by getting him away for the night so that nothing would happen to him. And Jesus said, here's a need. I need to meet this need. And so he identifies the need last week with the feeding of the 5,000. He says, what do you have? They bring him the bread and the fish. Jesus begins to pray over it. He takes something small, he multiplies it, and all of a sudden there's enough baskets left over for the 12 disciples representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Because last week we talked about that no matter how small it might seem, that God can take something small and turn it into something big if we are willing to give what we have to God, just like that boy gave his bread and his fish over to the disciples. That so many times we're waiting for something bigger to happen. We'll say, well, I'll wait till something bigger happens in my life, and then I'll give it to God. And God says, no, I even want the small things in life that we take for granted. And last week we shared about how God takes the small things, turns them into big things, and uses them as generosity to others to point him to his kingdom. Today we're going to be talking about making an impact, or the legacy that we want to leave behind as individuals and as a church. And I think when you think about that word impact, there are probably many different things that come to your mind. That if I would say describe an impact, you might say, well, a car crash, how a car crashes into another car is an impact. You might say, well, in boxing, it's how another boxer lands a punch on the other boxer. You might say in sports, it's how a soccer player comes in contact with the ball and puts a spin on the ball so it goes the direction that the player wants it to go. You might say an impact is when you fall down the stairs or you fall down. That might be our idea of having an impact when we lose our footing as we're walking. I know for me, that's a reminder of what an impact was. I remember I was walking down the stairs one day when we were house-sitting for an individual, and I had a cup of chocolate milk in my hand, and I thought, you know, I could walk down the stairs and carry a cup of chocolate milk in my hand, and of course, I missed a step, and the milk went up in the air. I went down the stairs and had to clean up chocolate milk everywhere, and I got up, and I was like, that is not what I was expecting. That was an impact of me falling down the stairs by missing a step and the chocolate milk going up in the air and landing everywhere that we had to clean up. We think about impact in different ways. Sometimes we think about physical pain when we think about impact. The impact that it might have on us physically, emotionally, with the things we go through in our life. Sometimes it's not physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes we feel like we're on a roller coaster and we're going up and down in life, that we're really high here and the next day we're really low and we're just up and down, that an impact can describe our emotional state and how we feel. However, the definition I want to work with today regarding an impact is this: having a strong effect on someone or something. Having a strong effect on someone or something. You see, an impact isn't always negative. An impact can be positive. When we look at our church and we look at our lives, God has called us to have a strong effect on individuals in our community and in our lives. That when we think about having an impact, it starts with being generous and living generous lives. We see this happening all around us. This morning, if you are here and you have been impacted by another person, will you raise your hand? If you've been impacted, somebody's impacted your life in one way or another, whether it was a school teacher, a parent, a grandparent, aunt, uncle, neighbor, raise your hand. We've all been impacted, right? Somebody has made an impact on us. Somebody has had a strong effect on us that has helped us be who we are today. Without those individuals in our lives making an impact on us, who knows what might have happened? Who knows where we would have been? Who knows what our lives would have been like? if those individuals had not made an impact on our lives. But most of us never really thought about it. Most of us never really took a step back to say, well, wait a second. Yeah, that person did have an impact, a lasting impression on my life. And the only time we might really think about it is if somebody asks you that question, who had an impact on your life and how did they have an impact on your life? Or if you're reminiscing about that individual because they're at a memorial service or something might happen and you begin to recall how that person has impacted you. But as we go throughout life, so many times we take it for granted how we've been impacted by the people that we come in contact with and how we've come in contact with them. The impact of another person is what we like to call the ripple effect. You know, when you go out to the pond, you take a stone and you skip it, and as it skips, it kind of hops across there, and you can kind of see the ripple effect. Or as a fish comes up to the top of the water, you can kind of see the ripple effect from the fish coming up to the top of the water. That the effect is that somebody makes an impact, and it doesn't just stop there, but it goes on for a little while and extends beyond them. Most of us never really think about the impact that we have on other people's lives. Most of us don't think about the ripple effect that we have on people's lives and how our actions of being generous affect them, and not only affect them, but go beyond them and continue out as the ripple effect continues. We find here that this all goes back to creation, folks. The ripple effect. That God created us to be in His image. That created in His image means we were created to be generous people, to love others, to serve others, to be in relationship with God, and to be in relationship with each other. The idea of being generous all goes back to creation when God said, Adam and Eve, you can have anything you want in this garden except for one thing. That God was generous. And even when Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God still was generous as He made them clothes out of fig leaves. And we find throughout Scripture that God extends His generosity in the Old and in the New Testament by saying, I want you to point others to Me by how generous you are with your life and how you live it. And by doing so, generosity will spread. Think about the church and why we're here this morning. We are here this morning because some 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born of a virgin. He came and walked the earth, and for 3 years He poured into people's lives. And then when He died on the cross and He rose from the dead, and 40 days later ascended to heaven, those individuals that He poured into and made an impact on continued to live the mission that Jesus called them to do. And we are a part of that ripple effect today for some 2,000 years ago of the early church that was started in the book of Acts. With the disciples organizing it and putting it together, that we are here because of the impact of the disciples that they had on the community in Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So this morning, when we look at this, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 46, and let's look at this impact of the early church this morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 46. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by them. All the believers were together and everything they had in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had a need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a glimpse of the growth of the early church. A blueprint of how the church today can continue to be successful if we are generous and living generous lives. To fully understand the ripple effect that's occurring here in Acts chapter 2, We need to understand the context of it. That when we look here, this is a story of the apostles talking about their time with Jesus, their experience with Jesus, seeing him taken to the cross, being crucified, dead, buried, rising again, and appearing to them. It is a story of individuals who are sharing their encounters post-resurrection about Jesus as well. That we're reminded here that Jesus has poured into them so much and has given them the power of the Holy Spirit that they are now transforming their community in which they live because their lives are transformed. That as followers of Jesus, they didn't understand what was about to happen. They didn't understand that they were going to start an early church. They were just going about the mission they were called to, which was to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. And after this point, all of a sudden, the church begins to blossom. Why? Because people owned the generosity in their life. They allowed the Holy Spirit to transform them. And as they were transformed, they began to make an impact in the community. They began to have people over every day in their homes, having a meal with them and praying with them. It wasn't just a Sunday morning occasion. It was every single day that they were being generous with their lifestyle and who they encountered and who they came across. That it was every single day they were worshiping together and encouraging each other, that Jesus started that ripple effect. And that ripple effect is still going today as we are gathered here as a church of Jesus Christ. We see here in Acts chapter 2, the church now is giving what they had to the poor, and they're worshiping together, and they're being persecuted. And people are coming at them trying to kill them, but they still are encouraged, and they still are worshiping, and they're still bringing others to Christ because of that ripple effect. Because the impact that was made upon their life, they now want to have an impact on other people's lives. You see, we are seeing what God started with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're seeing it still being brought about today where it is not completed yet. But there's still work to be done. You see, I think it's interesting here that as we think about the church and who we are, that we're called to continue that work of the early church in the book of Acts. That we are called to be generous. We are called to impact people's lives for Christ. That we are called to continue that ripple effect. And if we allow God and through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us, to mold us, to shape us with our thoughts, our time, our attention, our generosity of our money, and everything about how we live our lives, then I do believe that this verse right here, the last part of Acts chapter 2, where it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved will come about." You see, that's what's happened with the church is we have forgot about what it means to be generous people. We have been so consumed with what the world thinks. We're so consumed about our own needs. We're so consumed about the here and the now that we forget about the big picture in eternity and what we're called to do. We forget that God needs to transform us first and foremost. And when He impacts us, then we have an impact on others. And then the number will be added to those daily in the church. You see, church is not about programs. Church is not about just Sunday morning. Church is about our lives. It's about conforming to God and changing our hearts and our minds so that we can then go and change others for Christ and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives so that they can come to know who He is. You see, it's easy for us to think about ourselves. It's easy to say, well, I'll do that tomorrow, next week, when I have more time. I have too much going on right now. I just don't have time to stop. The church in Acts chapter 2 was growing by leaps and bounds because they made time for what was important. And God blessed that. That as a church, if we want to grow and we want to continue to move forward, that we need to make time for God. And when we make time for God, God says to Malachi, test me that I might open the storehouses of heaven. That is the only time in Scripture where God says, test me. Nowhere else does it say, test me. But you'll say, well, Pastor Tom, I thought that the Ten Commandments and in Scripture says we're not supposed to test God. That we're not supposed to kind of say, okay, God, let me test you. No, it says, don't tempt God. When we're saying, test God, God is saying, do you really believe what I'm saying? Do you really believe that if you focus your time, your attention, your thoughts, and your money on me, and you're generous with your life and how you're living your life, test me with that and see what I will do not only in your life, but in the church that you go to. Test me and see, he says, and I will open the storehouses up from heaven. Do we really claim that? Okay, God, I'm going to test you. I'm going to claim your promise. I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to make sure that I'm spending time with you and your priority and my relationship with you is a priority. And I'm going to test, God, that how I live my life, every part of my life, being generous with everything I have in my life, that you're going to take it and bless it. And that because of blessing it, other people are going to come to know you. Now, blessing it doesn't mean that if you give everything you have to God, that God's going to put tens of thousands of dollars in your bank account and say, well, you tested me, I'm opening the storehouse, so here you go, I'm putting tons of extra money in your bank account. No, when God says, test me and see, he's saying that you're going to be blessed in ways that you might not even be aware of it. Going back to the first week of saying, pay attention to what God is doing. That so many times we miss the blessings that God has put right here before us, and we write it off and we say, oh, that was nice. And God said, I'm blessing you. I'm blessing you. Can you not see it? But so many times we expect God to bless us with better health or bless our bank account or a better job or whatever it might be. And we go, well, I'm testing God. I'm saying what Malachi says. I'm being generous, but yet I don't see how God is doing anything. Because we're not aware, our eyes aren't open, because we're not spending time with God. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us. And when that happens, God will open our eyes. I've been meeting with a couple of pastors here in Columbia each week on Tuesday, and we get together at City Gate, and we spend about 2 hours in prayer every Tuesday for our community, for each other, and for our churches. And when we're talking, when we got together, we were like, man, you know, this is kind of cool. And we got together next week and began to talk about the different things. We began to see what God was doing. And the three of us were sharing. We're like, you know what? God has always been doing stuff. God had to open our eyes so we could see what he was already doing. So many times our eyes are not open and God is doing things all around us and blessing us and we're missing it because God is saying, just let me open your eyes so you can see. Being generous with our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us enables God to open our eyes so that we might see and see the blessings that God has given to us. Realizing the impact that God is doing in our lives and in this church. God's generosity was expressed through Jesus and that ripple effect of the church being generous. And it goes back all the way to where we're at today here in Columbia. That God is still being generous and wants us to continue to take that stone and throw it out there and have that ripple effect in our community to do our part. In order to have an impact, a generosity, in order for God to bless us and to bless our church, to bless our community, we have to be generous. Starting with God's grace abounding in us. If God's grace abounds in us, then generosity will be second nature to us. 2 Corinthians 8:7. See that you also grow in this grace of giving. It's all about grace, responding to what God has already done for us. We are generous people because God has been generous to us. That God has shown us his grace and his mercy. And in return, God says, I just want you to to be generous in the same way. See, the truth is, folks, that when we're generous, the generosity inspires more generosity, and it's contagious. It's not just contagious in our lives, but it's contagious in the people's lives around us. That they want to know, well, what are you doing? Why are you being so generous? And then they want to be a part of what's going on too. And then that ripple effect continues on, because generosity inspires generosity if our hearts are in the right place. It's contagious. In order for us to have that ripple effect, to continue that ripple effect in our community, we have to be good at being generous with all that we have. Being more aware, being more intentional, and being more active in what God is doing. You see, if we as a church all committed to being generous with our time, our talent, our gifts, and our service, think about the impact that we could have here in Columbia. Think about the impact we're already having in Columbia. So how do we do this? How do we multiply our impact to generosity? Well, you can answer that question in many different ways. But today, I think the one answer is simply this, that if we as a church and in our lives practice generosity, then we do that by telling stories of how others have impacted us with their generosity. It all comes down to telling our story, folks. It's not just about giving our time, our talent, our gifts, and our service. It's about telling our story. It's about telling how, you know what? Let me tell you how God was generous to me. That, you know, I looked at my bank account and I didn't quite know how I was going to make it to next week. True story. Member of the church told me this a few weeks ago when I was talking to them. They said, you know what? I don't know how I was going to make it to next week. I only had a couple of dollars left in my account. My Social Security check doesn't come for a while. And I was wondering what was going to happen. And then you knocked on my door, Pastor Tom, and you delivered me a food box. Well, you talk about God's generosity. He said, blown away. I was praying, God, what was going to happen? God, how are you going to provide? And here you are providing me with what I need until I get my Social Security check. Little stories like that that we take for granted from individuals. Little stories we take for granted and we say, well, you know what, that was just kind of a coincidence that happened. No, it was God saying that if you test him, then he will open up the storehouses of heaven and give you what you need and take care of you. It happens story after story after story after story. That's how we are generous. That's how people want to be generous, because they hear our stories. They hear how God has been generous to us and that we're being generous back because of what God's done for us. And they want to come on board and do the same thing, telling our stories of generosity. But you cannot tell a story, folks, if you're not living a generous life. If you're not spending time with God and you're not seeking God first and foremost, you're not going to have a story to tell. Being generous starts with storytelling. That's how the church grew, is because of the stories that were being told and people coming to know Christ. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Where does it say your light should shine? Does it say my light should shine only on Sunday mornings? That my light should shine only when I'm at home doing my devotions and having my prayer time? That my light should only shine when I feel like putting it on and turning it off? No, it says shine before others, meaning it's every single day. That being generous means wherever we go, whoever we come in contact with, wherever we might be, that our light is supposed to shine all the time. Hide under a bush. Oh no. I'm going to let my little light shine. How many times, though, do we go out on Sunday mornings, we got our candle lit, I'm ready to let my light shine for Jesus. We're all good. And then we go, and you know, and then something happens, and somebody talks to us, and we got our light going, and we kind of go, well, you know, I hope they didn't notice I had a little light going there. I hope they don't ask me, well, what's with the light that you got behind your back? Or what's with the light you're holding? I hope they don't ask me about that light thing, because I really don't want to get into it. I'm not sure how they'll respond to it. No, he says, let your light shine so others can see it, so people can say, hey, what is about that light you're holding? Tell me about that light you're being. Don't hide it so people can't see it. Don't be ashamed of it. Hold it out there for everybody to see, that others might glorify our Father in heaven because they see it through us and are turned to Him because of us. The end goal of generosity is all about pointing others to Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about, well, God, what are you going to do for me? The reason we are generous with all we have is because it's about pointing others to God to see who He truly is. You know, the verse doesn't say that as we let our light shine that people will see our good deeds and glorify us. No, it says as people see that light shining, they'll glorify God and give thanks for the good deeds that He's done for them. People can see our motivation of why we do what we do. We're either doing it because we want a pat on the back, people to acknowledge us so we can feel good about what we're doing, or we're doing it because God has called us to do it, and so others can be pointed to Him. Everything we do as individuals and everything we do as a church is all because of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Everything we do, any decisions we make, what ministries we put forth, is not about us. It's about Jesus and pointing others to Him that He might be glorified. That is what we are called to do as a church. No matter who we are, no matter where we live, no matter what decision it might be, that we are called to say, all right, is Jesus going to be glorified with this decision? Are others going to be able to see Him here in His kingdom? Is this light for Jesus going to shine brightly so others will see it and come to know Him? Or is it for our benefit so that we can say, look at us and look at this wonderful church we have? Every decision we make as individuals as a church needs to be weighed by, does it point others to Jesus? And if not, we're not going to talk about it. It's off the table. That is how we weigh whether our light is going to shine and bring people to Him, seeing God and God be glorified and not us. You know, so many times we'll say, well, be the change that you want to see in the world. And we'll say, that's good, but how can I change the world by myself? Well, sometimes it is kind of hard to change the world by yourself. But you know what? It only takes one person to impact somebody else to be a change in somebody else's life. And you have no idea what that person's future might be like. Whether they're going to be the next president of the United States, the next United Nations president, the next bishop, you don't know. So yes, you can impact the world by starting small and saying, God, I'm going to start small, take my smallness, make it great for you and glorify, as we talked about last week, because you never know the impact that you might have on somebody's life and where they might end up down the future and go, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for so-and-so. If they hadn't been generous with me and the time, the attention, the thought they gave me, I probably wouldn't be here today. It's because they poured into me, they strengthened me, they encouraged me, and I saw the good works they were doing, and God was being glorified, that I would not be here today if it wasn't for whoever that person was. As a church, we can do great things together. As we're unified together, we have to work together. We've been talking for a couple months now about the vision, the mission, the core values of things. We all have to work together, folks. We're either going to be on board together and work together, or we're not. And if we're not on board together, then God's going to say, I can't do anything with you. I cannot work if you guys are infighting. I cannot work if you're not unified and in agreement of what I want to do in the church. Until we come alongside and allow God to change our hearts and put aside who we are and what we think and what we feel and say it's about what God wants, not what I want. And that's when God's going to move us forward. That's when God's going to take the mission, the vision, and the core values and put them into practice and see them come to fruition. It's when we put our own differences aside and we work together in the body of Christ by being generous and saying, what is best for the kingdom of God? Not what is best for me, but what is best for the kingdom of God. Then God will bless our endeavors, folks. But it starts with us making that decision, creating a legacy. Think for a second. What do you want your legacy to be? And I'm not talking about when somebody is at your memorial service and they get up and say, well, let me tell you about so-and-so and how they did this. And that. I'm talking about right now, folks, when somebody hears your name, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be defined by? When your name comes up in conversations, what is it that you want people to say about you? What is it you want your legacy to be in those conversations? What is it that you want the legacy of this church to be in those conversations? What is it the legacy of this church and this community that you want it to be when people talk about Columbia United Methodist Church? Not when the doors close and people say, well, that was a good church and it existed so many years. No, I'm talking about the here and the now. That when people hear the name Columbia United Methodist Church, what legacy are we having right now? What impact are we having right now on our community that people will say, I know about that church. I know what they're doing at that church. And I want to be a part of what they're doing because they are being generous with their time, their talent, their gifts, and their service. And God is doing something there. Their light is shining bright. And you know what? I want to go there because their good deeds are pointing me to God. And God is doing something great in that church. And I want to be a part of what's going on as generosity spurns more generosity. And the ripple effect continues out because of the legacy that we have as a church here and now. What do you want that legacy to be? I know what I would like it to be as a church. I know what I would like it to be as a pastor when my name comes up in conversations, what my legacy would be. That people would say, you know what? That he's a man of God, that he's constantly trying to point others to God. That's what I hope people would say in conversations about me, that my legacy would be that. But it all depends upon how I'm living my life, folks. If I'm not living a generous life, then my legacy is not going to be one of, like, you know what? Well, Pastor Tom was this or that. Well, no, Pastor Tom, well, he was an okay guy or whatever. Because if we're not fully committed to God, we're not fully committed to our relationship with him, if we're not fully committed to being generous, then those conversations about our names when they come up, the conversations about our church aren't going to be ones of excitement with other people. Yeah, I know about them. Let me tell you about them. And they begin to share their stories because they've been impacted by us. Or is it going to be, yeah, I know that church. That's the one like on the corner there. That's the Stone Church. Yeah, no big deal. Just another church in Columbia. What do we want our legacy to be right now, folks? Our time is short. We don't know when Christ is coming back again. You look around the world, folks, things are getting worse. They're not getting better. And Matthew says, don't be surprised by it, folks. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. We have a community here that is seeking and wants to know God, a community that's hurting here that we can reach out to if we allow God to transform us and our own lives, to transform our church, and see the opportunities that God has put right before us. If we allow God to open our eyes to what he's doing here, to say, here are the opportunities you've been given, what are you going to need to do with them? A chance for people's lives to be changed. A legacy is something that is handed down from the past to the next generation. Well, folks, the next generation's here today. It's not tomorrow, it's today. The next generation is right here, right now. Generosity is not about what it does for us, but it's about those that are recipients of the generosity, going far beyond our life and our story, allowing that ripple effect of God's grace and mercy to change people's life. So here's the question. What is the most powerful legacy that you can create? What is the most powerful legacy you can create as an individual for Christ, as well as for the church of Christ? I'll give you a hint. It's not about money. It's not about the offering plate. It's not about fame. It's not about fortune. It's about leaving a legacy of generosity of every aspect of our life and what we think, what we say, what we do, and yes, what we give, whether that's money or our time and our talents. That will define our legacy. So what do you want the legacy to be of our church as we move forward? As we say, okay, God, here we are ready, we are listening. What is it you want the legacy of this church to be? I believe, personally, that when all is said and done, that CUMC will be one in which will be talked about for a long time to come about its legacy. Because of the people, because of the church, and because of what we're doing. That when people talk about CUMC, I truly believe that conversation will be and is. Yeah, we know that church. That church has got a heart for this community. That church has a heart for the people. And yes, we know them because they walk their talk. They don't just come on Sunday mornings and worship. No, they're actually practicing what they preach. I believe that we already have a legacy. And that people are talking about what we're doing here. You know how I know that? Because I'm already getting Facebook messages from people asking, hey, when are you doing this event? Hey, when are the Wednesday night meals starting up? Hey, when are you doing trunk or treat? Hey, when are you doing this? Because we are already leaving a legacy where people know who we are and are reaching out to us saying, hey, I would like to be a part of what you're doing. Can you tell me how I can join you where God is working? How are we going to build on that legacy? It all starts with each and one of us choosing to be generous. It all starts with us saying, God, all I have is yours. And then allowing God to take that, to transform it, and to bring it into the life of the church so that we can take that generosity out to the world in which we live. I don't know about you, but I think it's time that as the church universal, it's time we start going back to being a generous church. It's time to put everything else aside. And it's time to go back to Acts chapter 2 and say, you know what? If we want to see people come to know Christ, it's all because of my generosity and how I live and how that impacts other people. Leave you that one last question again. What is the most powerful legacy that you can create by allowing God to work through in you, the power of His Holy Spirit, using you and molding you to do great and mighty things? What do you want that?
They'll know we are Christians by our love. First one, it says we are one in the Spirit. We need to be one in the Spirit together. And then we will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And then together as a church, we will praise the Lord together. Hey, we're a church family. We welcome all of you who are here for the first time, and we welcome you into our church family. So as together, if you want to like reach out and just hold hands with the person next to you or stand to the next to the person, just saying, hey, we're in this together. Do be careful of health concerns. If somebody needs a little bit of space, please give that. But let's join together as a church body, welcoming everybody and singing, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
That they'll know who we are because of our love for God, because we want God to be glorified, and because of our love for God, then God puts a love in us for other people, and they'll know we're Christians because of our love for God, our love for each other, and how they see us working side by side together, and they'll see that love, and they'll see the love for them, and say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. Tell me more about this God who loves me. How can I walk side by side and hand in hand with you? Because it all starts with loving God with our heart and our soul and loving others as we love ourselves. That's what a generous life is all about. Those two things. And if we do those two things, God will take care of everything else. May the grace of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. May you go in peace.